Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My title is Tired of Talk, and I'm going to be focusing in a way off of 1 Corinthians 13, which is a scripture that you've probably heard almost exclusively in churches at weddings. But there's so much more to it than weddings and the relationship between a husband and a wife. We very often talk about God's amazing grace, and we should, but we don't really define grace very often. Grace means those generous gifts that God has given us, the gift of life, the gift of His love, the gift of His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the gift of forgiveness and acceptance in spite of our sins. You know, we get from God so much, and God gives to us so much that we kind of get used to getting. Well, today's sermon is sort of, it's about how comfortable we are with getting from God and how often we are forgetful that God expects at least a few things out of us. Now, I have a story about a man who got real comfortable with getting. And it's one of my favorites. I think you may be telling it over lunch. I hope so. Two friends met in the street. One looked sad. I mean, he almost was on the verge of tears. And the other man said, "Hey, friend, how come you look like your whole world is caved in?" Well, the sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, an uncle of mine died and left me $50,000. Well, the friend said, "Hey, that's nothing to be sad about. That's not bad." He said, "Hold on, I'm just getting started. 2 weeks ago, a cousin that I never really knew kicked the bucket and left me $95,000 tax-free." The friend, puzzled, said, "Well, that's great. Why? I don't understand why you're sad." And he said, "Well, hold on. Last week, my grandfather passed away, and I inherited almost $1 million. The friend couldn't stand it anymore, and he said, "Well, but why are you sad?" And he said, "Well, I'll tell you. This week, nothing. Week after week, and day after day, and even eternally into the future, we get from God. We get unexpected grace upon grace from God, and we talk about it, and we sing about it, and we pray about God's love. And all of these gifts come out of the loving heart of God. How would it be if we just accepted and received and came to expect more and more and more gifts of God's love and more forgiveness and more grace, and never once, I mean not even once, did we reflect any of that love to anybody else? How would it be? Do you think that is what God had in mind? That's certainly not what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he wrote 1 Corinthians 13. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, Paul said, all of our worship, all of our singing, even if we had prophetic powers and faith to move mountains, and even if we gave all of our money away, not just some, but all of it, or if we died a martyr's death, giving our body up to be burned because of our faith. But if we didn't echo, if we did all of that and we didn't echo any of God's love that has been sent our way, if we did all of the above, but echo no love out to another person, Paul says, it amounts to nothing. In fact, we in our whole lives, as I read it, would amount to nothing unless we live out some of the love that God has been sending our way since the day we were born. True story. A veteran of 40 years as a Christian medical missionary died. And in his billfold, they found a well-worn copy of the following little essay on love. It's a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13. He carried this with him for 40 years. "If I have mastered the language ever so perfectly and speak like a pundit, but have not the love that grips the heart, I am nothing. If I have decorations and diplomas and academic honors but have not the touch of understanding love, I am nothing. If I have great ideals and magnificent plans and wonderful visions but have not the love that sweats and bleeds and weeps and prays and pleads, I am nothing. If I leave home and friends and comfort and surrender my body to be consumed in the heat and the sweat and the mildew of India, but have not the love that knows empathy or mercy or forgiveness, I am nothing. If I can heal all manner of sickness and disease, but wound hearts and hurt feelings for lack of love that is kind, I am nothing. If I write books and publish learned articles but fail to transcribe the word of the cross into the language of love, I am nothing. And finally, if I am offering my gift at the altar and there remember that a brother or sister has something against me but do not love enough to seek reconciliation and peace with my estranged brother or sister, I am nothing. Nothing. Now, God's amazing grace is really something. And because of Jesus Christ, we are able to live lives that are really something that matters. We can matter. And it's not just political power, it's not wealth, it's not fame, it's not possessions or beauty. What it is love. And if somebody loves you, on a personal level, you know if you are accepted and loved no matter what, that matters more than all the fleeting fame and all the temporary power and all the numbers and all the bank accounts you have put together. On your deathbed, you will not run over the columns of investments. On your deathbed, you will not recount the degrees and the awards. On your deathbed, you will grasp to the memories and the warmth of those you know in your heart of hearts loved you. You mattered to someone. The gospel says you matter to God. You matter as much as the cross. And God, as I read the Apostle Paul, God is saying, God wants you to pass that kind of love, that kind of grace, freely given, onto others. And if you don't, if you stop short of that, no matter what you accomplish, you have failed. Now that's a strong statement, but that is what I believe the Apostle Paul is saying. You did not do what God had in mind for your life. God's gifts to you were never supposed to be every day, just for you and stop there. God's love in Jesus Christ was meant to pass on, and if you don't, you fail. Now, I'm not talking about salvation pass fail. I'm talking about living out the love that you have been given. That's the life that God would have us lead. Another story. This one not so funny. A university professor tells the story of a time when he had an extended visit, a series of meetings in a city in India. And he said every morning he got up and he looked out the window of his hotel and he saw a man sitting by the river. Every night when he returned, he saw the same man out the same window, sitting in the same place by the window. And finally, after about 5-6 days of this, just to satisfy his curiosity, he walked down the riverbank and he spoke to the man. And he asked, "Why do you do nothing but sit by the river here every day?" And the man replied, "Sir, because I believe in reincarnation. And according to this belief, if we have lived many times before, and we will live many times again." And then he added, "This life, I'm sitting this one out." The Lord Jesus does not offer us the luxury of sitting this one out. This is the one we get in our belief. The one we get. And He invites us to choose life and to choose new life as we follow after Him in a particular direction. The life that was lived before us in Jesus Christ was one in which love, even as much as the cross, love was lived to the fullest. In Jesus we saw love. Even though the recipients of the love did not appreciate it or understand it, Jesus still loved them. And even though we don't always appreciate it or understand it, Jesus still loves us. Jesus loved us in spite of rejection, in spite of humiliation and false accusations and arrest and execution. It was His Father's will that He love us to the end, and He did until He said, "It is finished." Now you and I have been given life, and by God's grace, new life. And we know from Jesus Christ what a life lived in God's will looks like. We know because Jesus has given us grace upon grace. And we are gifted with love and forgiveness and eternal hope. And more than enough just for us. Enough to share. And our life is not finished. Our life is not yet well done, my good and faithful servant. Until we make the connection between what God has done for us and what God expects from us as we live out our faith before others. To use that power of the Holy Spirit, not just for comfort, but for direction and for courage and for reaching out and sharing with others that same love and grace we have been given. God's love. Indeed, God's gifts of talent and wealth and ability and wisdom, none of these things were meant to come to a dead stop with us. They are for God's use. For God's use in continuing Jesus' continuing ministry of love and grace. All we are and all we have is for God's use. And if we do not use them in that way, 1 Corinthians seems to say to me, we have failed. Our lives have amounted to nothing. We are sitting out this life as if nothing matters. Killing time, killing opportunities, killing possibilities God had in mind for us to live out. Creation. Creation was the self-expression of a gracious God who is love. And apart from love, I think that life is absurd and meaningless. As the Apostle Paul tells us as strongly as he can, if you have not love, you are nothing. We spin our wheels too often, scheming and dreaming and spotlighting ourselves. But God has something simpler in mind. Love one another as I have loved you. And love your neighbor. And what does love of neighbor look like? Well, Jesus told a story about that. He said a certain man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and was attacked by bandits and beaten and stripped and left naked and bleeding in the ditch. And a Levite passed by and did nothing. And a priest passed by and did nothing. And then a Samaritan passed by, considered racially impure and religiously impure. But he stopped and he had compassion and he tended to the wounds and took care of his needs. And Jesus asked, which one of these three proved to be neighbor to the man in need? And they all had to say, well, the Samaritan. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. The priest and the Levite, having the words of faith, but not the compassion and the heart of faith, did nothing. They sat that one out. You and I, we are the church. But if we have not love, we are nothing. If we have the finest building, the most complete hymnal, the most expensive organ, the most beautiful voices, glorious choir, richest treasury in the world, but have not love, we are spiritually dead. It has been said of today's Christians that too many people have just enough faith to feel uncomfortable doing wrong, but not enough faith to feel comfortable in a compulsion doing right. It has also been said that too many of us have been inoculated with a mild form of Christianity, just enough to make us immune to the real thing, which changes our lives. In other words, too many of us don't take our faith seriously enough for it to be a part of and to affect our decisions day to day. We'll gladly accept gifts from God, but God has explicitly sent us out to others in need, whether it be physical or spiritual or emotional, and we are called to help and to witness to our faith as we meet those needs. Too many Too many of us don't put our religious beliefs into practice on the giving end, on the love others end. We talk, we take, we scheme and we dream and we point the spotlight at ourselves. But is that what God had in mind? The Church of Jesus runs on God's Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of love beyond measure. We are the Church, therefore we must love God and love one another and even love those who do not love us back. Someone has said that the world is a kind of spiritual kindergarten where millions of bewildered infants are trying to spell God with the wrong blocks. Jesus spelled out God in the flesh. God is love. God is light in whom there is no darkness at all. And we are called and empowered to share God's love and light in the darkness of this world, in the darkness of other people's lives. You have seen it done in Jesus, and you've been empowered to do it by the Holy Spirit. Make something out of your life, more than talk, more than getting. Give your love away. The abundance of what God has given you, give it away in Jesus' name. Someone is waiting. Someone is waiting.